Well, they've been working on the new television stuff and installing that. These old lights are new.
Old.
Today.
They're tearing them out today.
They take them. These lights are going away after today. And we got the new LEDs. And yeah, okay. So, well, lights, we salute you for 30 years. Is that right? Of service. 20 years for the gospel. So. But it's time for a change. Praise God. Go to Psalm 34, if you would. Psalm 34. We began a few weeks back on a series that we're calling. Anybody know what it is? The Fear of the Lord. If you've read the scriptures much, you've come across this phrase, the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. And I don't know how much you've heard about it, but it's a very, very important truth and subject. And so I'm believing the Lord for light and revelation and utterance, and you believing with me, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. In the 34th Psalm, Psalm 34 and verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that do what?
Fear
him, talking about fear the Lord. And he's not just there to say, don't forget I'm here. He's there to what?
Deliver them.
And verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what we're talking about in the offering, right? The Lord is what?
Good.
Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Now this alone is reason to find out about how we should fear the Lord. Miss, well, I don't like the sound of that. I thought we were supposed to not have any fear. That's why we need to be taught. What does it mean? Right? What is he saying? The scripture talks about that the truth and the scriptures must be rightly divided. And any time that a scripture, one scripture looks like it doesn't agree with another, there's nothing wrong with the scripture. There's something wrong with how you see it. There's a hole in your understanding. Now, you're laughing, but, you know, there are people that go, oh, there are incongruities all through the Bible. You know? There are mistakes, and they're not, and they're just showing how dumb they are. There are no mistakes. If there are mistakes in the Bible, it's not the Word of God.
That's right.
Exactly right.
If it's the Word of God, if it is inspired of Him.
Yes.
Now, you got to remember, too, now, it didn't mean all the variances of all the translations are inspired of God.
No.
But the original words are perfect.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And there is no disagreement of any one part of another. And, you know, I've been walking with the Lord, Phyllis and I, for in the ministry for over 40 years now. And there are numerous things through the years that I'd get to it in the Word and I'd go, now hold on. This verse says this.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yep.
And I'm trying to see how they work together.
Right.
And a lot of times what you got to do is say, Lord, teach me.
Right.
Open my eyes to see what this is.
Yeah.
And sometimes it may be 5 years later,
yeah.
10 years later, and you go, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Huh? There was never anything wrong with the Word.
No.
It was just a lack of seeing and discerning and understanding. He said, fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, that same word translated want is translated lack. Same word. Shall not lack any good thing. So fearing the Lord and having no lack are directly connected. So would you lift a hand and say, Lord, teach me about the fear of the Lord. Amen. Teach me. I want to know. I want to understand what this is, how to live it, how to do it. Verse 11, he said, come, ye children, hearken to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you. Let's read the rest of this for a bit. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now, we already heard earlier this word good. He keeps using it, and he's going to contrast it here in the next verse. Keep your tongue from what?
Evil.
And your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This has already given us insight into the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord includes discernment between good and evil. This is a big part of it. And we'll get into some of this today. But he said, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Then he starts talking further about good and evil, good and bad. If the fear of the Lord can be taught, then the fear of the Lord can be learned, understood, and learned. And we just prayed again about that. And so it is happening right now. We are learning. We are growing in the fear of the Lord. Now, go with me, if you would, to, let's see. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Some of these things I've never taught like this before. So I'm believing the Lord as we go to get it right. It's a big subject. And I don't claim to know all about it, but we are growing. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter and the 14th verse, this whole passage is he is contrasting godly and ungodly, good and evil. In 14, he says, be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Unbelievers are going to be those without the fear of God. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Unbelievers are not going to be righteous. They're not going to be pursuing what's right. Unright means not right. And what communion has light with darkness? Here he calls the believer light. He calls the unbeliever darkness. Keep going. What conquered has Christ with Belial? Now, Belial is a name for the devil. Does the Lord and the devil hang out any time? Are they working together? If they are, we could just give up now. Right? What chance would we have? No. The answer to every one of these is none. 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 What does darkness and light have in common? Nothing. What concord does Christ with Belial? None. What part has he that believes with an infidel? That's somebody who doesn't believe, who rejects God. And the answer is none. None. Keep going. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. For you are the temple of the living God. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That means He indwells us individually and corporately. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. You are the temple of the living God. Say it out loud. We are the temple. Now notice the next word, of the what? Because all these other temples of all these other gods are dead. Dead and empty. All of these statues and all of these things, like the scripture said, these statues, they got eyes, but they can't see. They got ears, but they can't hear. But our God is the one and only God, the living God, and we are His temple. He indwells us, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Keep going. Wherefore, because of that, come out from among them. Them what? Them unbelievers, them darkness, them unrighteous, right? Come out and be ye separate.
Yes.
Separate. Now we are talking about the heart of the fear of the Lord right now. Is everybody awake?
Yes.
This is it. See, those who have no fear of God, they either believe or they act like there is no God. If you're acting like there is no God, then if there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no hell, there is no judgment, there is no reward, there is no right, there is no wrong. Come on, are y'all with me? Because if there's no God, then the only standard of right and wrong is what you or I might come up with.
Yeah.
What makes my standard any better than yours?
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, if there's no God, there's no sin. And there's no judgment. There's no hell. So what's to prevent you from just taking and doing anything your flesh wants to do? Because you'll soon be dead anyway, and it doesn't matter, and nothing matters. And if nothing matters, nothing is sacred.
That's right. That's true.
Nothing is holy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And this is the mindset and the operations of the godless who have no fear of God. But if you are a believer and you are convinced that God is and that He is a good God, and a righteous God, and a righteous judge, hallelujah, and a rewarder of those who seek Him, and there is a heaven, and there is a hell, and there is reward, and there is judgment. If you really believe that, you will act a different way. You will talk differently. You will react and respond differently, because there is a God. Somebody say, there is a God. There is a righteous judge of all the earth. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There is right. There is wrong. There is good. There is evil. There is. Now, you have already described the fear of the Lord. Can you see that? If you act like there's a God, and you know the difference between good and evil and right and wrong, and you act like you know the difference, you are walking in the fear of the Lord. In the reverence of Him. And you'll see in this very passage, it leads right to that. Keep reading. Come out from among them and be ye separate. If you've read what we call the Old Testament, which is just as much the Word of God as the New Testament, it is not an old, irrelevant, out-of-date word. you'll see that much of it was given to teaching, revealing to Moses, revealing to the priests, the family of Aaron and the Levites, and then that they're supposed to teach the people and demonstrate to the people the difference between holy and defiled and unclean. And so instead of being bored when you're reading chapters about clean animals and unclean animals and this is defiled and this is not, understand something much bigger is going on here. Because to the godless, there's no difference. Nothing matters. And whatever's in the world tries to get in the church. And sadly is all too often successful at permeating the church. And that's why Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, see, if it's all the same, there's nothing to differentiate. But in the world, you'll find that we've in the world, we've lost ground the last 50 years towards ungodliness. And you'll see it in a lack of respect for parents, lack of respect for teachers, leaders, employers, civil authorities. And what you're seeing with the protests in the streets, there's been an increase, right?
Yeah.
That's not just, I know you might say, well, that's just anti-Trump.
No.
It's not just anti-Trump.
Nope.
It's anti-authority.
That's right.
And the devil is always trying to move the whole population of the planet to the place where it was in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, the Bible said it'll be like that again before the Lord returns. In the days of Noah, it was just rampant violence everywhere. I mean, when you walked out of the house and any street in any city, there was killing, there was destroying, there was raping, there was stealing, there was destroying. It was global. And it got to the point where God said, I'm going to wipe all this out. Now, God's patience is astounding. I mean, your patience is gone and his has barely started. And you better be glad he's that way, because he's that way with you too and me too. But for it to get to the point where God says, I'm done, is usually described something that happened over a period of centuries. In fact, when God told Abram that he was going to give all that land, which was later referred to as the promised land, to his seed, his descendants, he told him it was going to happen in 400 years. Because the sin of the people who lived there was not yet full. As bad as they were, God said, I'm going to give them another 400 years. And see if they can get it together. But to God, that's less than half a day. Huh? Basically, he's saying, we'll give them to sundown. To the end of the day, right? Because we'll give them to the end of the day. His patience. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for long suffering. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But even as long-suffering as he is, there's a point where he says, that's it. We're done. And that's going to happen with this whole earth and this whole thing. And it could happen sooner than we think. But when he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, he's saying, don't let the world infect you with their lack of respect and their anti-authority rebellion. It's everywhere. It's in the schools. It's in the universities. It's in the government. It's all over the place. But you and I, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. And we are a light in the world. And this light is supposed to show respect, reverence, regard. Hallelujah. We're talking about the fear of the Lord. There are things that are special. There are things you should make a special effort about. Not treat like common and no big deal and whatever. There are things you should clean up and dress up. For. See, the world has almost completely gotten away from this. And a lot of this has gotten in the church. And it's not about money. And it's not about having money to buy an expensive suit. If you got two t-shirts and it's time to go to church, get your good one. Get your good t-shirt. Make sure it's clean. Wouldn't hurt to get the iron out. Get the iron out. I know it may feel strange, but get the iron out. Get the wrinkle. Huh? Why? Now let's just stop right here. What am I? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The fear
of the Lord.
Of the Lord. Yes. Treating something like it is special.
Right.
Treating something like it is holy.
Yes.
Sacred.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we're supposed to enjoy the things of God and enjoy church and enjoy praise and enjoy fellowship. But there's a line you don't cross where you're getting too loose. And you cross a line and you're acting disrespectful.
Amen.
And you're talking disrespectful. There's a line you cross if you go too far. And it's not just that you're making too big of a deal out of people. Your brother, your sister, your elders, your ministers, whoever it may be. But you treat people a certain way because of whose they are. Not who they are, but whose they are. And who called them. And who chose them. And who anointed them. Come on, can you see this? And so your honor is not just them, it's him. Don't let the world influence you with their ungodly hatred for authority, and nobody can tell me what to do, and just fight any kind of structure of leadership you see these people that are fighting these things, they're fighting laws that are on the books, right? They are standing up, willing to risk their life for criminals. People who are murderers and all these other things. See, you got to be messed up in your head. What are you thinking? And the thing is, if you are not in God, you are not safe from darkness deceiving you and twisting you. You might be one of the most intelligent people around, but without God, you're easy for the devil to fool. Without the fear of God, you're easily tricked. Remember, the scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's where it starts. Without fear of God, no matter how brilliant you might think you are, Y'all knew what I meant. Then the Bible will be a closed book to you. Because you don't respect it. And no matter what kind of anointing might be on any man or woman of God, teacher, preacher, ministry gift, you won't hear it. You won't understand it. You won't see it because you don't respect it. You don't value it. With the things of God, it begins with respect. Can you see that? It begins. I mean, where does your life in God begin? Where does your salvation begin? You bow your knee to the Lordship, is that right? Of Jesus, and you confess Him as
Lord.
Well, you have to believe He exists. You have to believe He's real. Are you not going to do that? Those who have no fear of God are those who don't believe in God. And that's this contrast in this passage. The believer, the unbeliever. The righteous, the unrighteous. Keep reading. Come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Now see, though the ungodly, they don't discern between a clean or unclean. To them, there's no difference. It doesn't matter. But God says, no, this is clean and holy. This is unclean. This is defiled. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, this was not written in chapter and verse. So just keep reading. Look at the very next verse. What does it say? Having therefore these promises, what of Him being our God, and us being His people and His sons and daughters, and us being His temple of the living God. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How? How? This is New Testament. This is Corinthians. Right? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Is there a connection between holiness and the fear of God?
Yes, sir.
Obviously. So what's the connection? Well, the discerning between what's holy and what's not. What's sacred and what is not. What is good and what is bad. The fear of God is inseparable from this. You'll find in listening to ungodly people that have no fear of God, to them, nothing is sacred. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is special.
Right.
Nothing is holy.
Right.
And you'll find the devil himself, and he influences all the ungodly. He is the demeanor, the belittler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nothing. It doesn't matter.
Right.
There's nothing to that. He's always running things down, saying they don't matter, saying that they're not worth anything, and of course he tells you that about yourself. All the time. You're such a failure, you're such a mistake, you're not worth anything, your family, friends would be better off without you. The next time these kind of thoughts and lies come, do not sit there and listen to that junk. Open your mouth and say, well, if I am so worthless, why did God, the creator of the universe, pay the highest price for us that's ever been paid for anything?
Amen.
Thank You need to understand what gives you value. It's not how smart you are. It's not how pretty you are. It's not how fast you can run. How high you can jump. Now let me just stop right here. Why? Because no matter how pretty you are, you live long enough, you won't be as pretty as you used to be. No matter how fast you can run, you live long enough, you won't be able to run as fast as you used to. No matter how high you can jump, you live long enough, you won't be able to jump as high. I'm not saying something bad. I'm just saying the truth, reality. And see, if all my value was in how high I could jump, and I can't jump no more, then that means I'm not worth anything anymore. If all my identity, all my worth was in how pretty I am, and I look in the mirror one day and go, man, I ain't so pretty no more. What happened? Then what does that mean? I have lost my value. Now you're laughing, but this is why people go through what they call middle age crisis, where they are trying to grasp a last grasp of some meaning and some value before it's too late. None of that is what makes you valuable. You know what makes you valuable? God chose you, bought you, paid a crazy high price for you. And that gives you eternal value in this life and beyond this life and forever. That's why you and I will sing a song that nobody else can sing. The song of the redeemed. Redeemed means he bought us. He bought us. God loves me. He chose me before I was born. Huh? He paid the blood of Jesus. That gives me eternal value. That'll never fade. That'll never change. Hallelujah. And the good news is that when the Lord returns, this body is going to be all fixed and it'll be pretty again. And we can jump higher than we ever jumped and run faster than we ever ran. So don't worry your pretty little head about this. Know who you are. Know who you are to God. And you'll know who you are to yourself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. You might say, well, I thought only the blood can cleanse us. What does that mean? Again, just what we were talking about earlier. If you don't understand something, if something doesn't look right to you, there's nothing wrong with the scripture. It's just wrong with how you're looking. You and I are in charge of where we put ourselves and what we let ourselves stay in. True, only the blood can cleanse and wash us from our sins. But God does not, you know, you can be washed and clean and jump back in the pig pen. Huh? Well, it's not a matter that the blood couldn't cleanse you. It's a matter you wouldn't stay out of the filth. And so the previous verse says what? Look at it again. Verse 17, come out from among them. See, that's what he's talking about. Come out of the defiling stuff, the unclean stuff, the ungodly stuff, and be separate. Chapter 7, verse 1, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, separation and holiness in the fear of God. Say it out loud, perfecting holiness. In the fear of God. Say it again. Perfecting holiness. In the fear of God. Now, don't get caught up in some religious idea of what holiness is. The best definition of holiness is being like Jesus. Right? Being like the Master. That's living holy. Now, go with me to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 1. The Lord's helping us, isn't He? Aren't we thankful? Proverbs chapter 1. You think this is a good series for us to be on right now? Even though the world is going in the wrong direction, you and I can go the opposite direction. And even if they get worse, we can get better. Right? In Proverbs, the first chapter and the seventh verse. Proverbs 1 and 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is what? What is the beginning? That's where it starts. Of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, this is a big window of understanding. The opposite of the fear of the Lord is despising, belittling, like we were saying, demeaning. Actually, the word lightness is used in contrast. Treating something lightly as though it doesn't matter, as though there's no value to it. You know, we mentioned it before, but the phrase that we've got over our platform here, the Lord said, them that honor me, I will honor. The rest of that is, those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. See, that's the opposite of honor. And honor is a part of the fear of the Lord. It's a part of it. And so He said the fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge, but then He shows the other side of it. But fools do what? The same things that you and I ooh and ah over and thinks wonderful and precious, they mock and laugh at and call us fools, religious fools. But them is the fool. Because the Scripture said, my English ain't too hot today, is it? I've been using my brain a lot this week, so thank you for helping me out. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that is a fool. I don't care if you're considered by the world as a genius and you got all kind of degrees. If you think there is no God, you are a fool. And if you don't repent, you're going to find out too late. And people don't realize how much darkness they're in because look around. I've heard people say, well, there's no proof of God. Are you joking? The Bible said that all of creation, shows Him, even His eternal power and Godhead. Where did it come from? How did it get here? What people don't realize is, well, it just happened. Well, that's not science. No. That's a belief. Right. And a dumb belief. We have no experience of anything, anywhere, anytime that's spontaneously self-created. You've never seen it. And you never will. I mean, people say, well, it was over, trillions of years and all this. Yeah. And you can go to even a salvage yard.
Right.
Even a salvage yard where they have car parts.
That's right.
And you can set off explosions for 5,000 years.
Yeah, right.
Nay, 500,000 years. And when the dust clears, there will never be a brand new Mercedes sitting there. Never.
No.
Never.
Never.
Never. Well, that's another message, right? In this same chapter, Proverbs 1, skip down to verse 25, when the Lord is talking about His wisdom and how do you even start learning about and growing in the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God? It starts with the fear of the Lord, which includes honoring Him, respecting Him, reverencing Him, giving place to Him, giving Him the place and the honor that's due. He said, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and you would none of my reproof. That is the fool who despises God's words and God's wisdom, who has no fear of God. Keep going. He said, well, I will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear comes. And this is a sad thing. And I think this is one of the reasons why the Bible says the Lord is going to wipe away tears from our eyes. You've read that in the book of Revelation and places. Why? Because at the judgment, the final judgment, there's going to be people lost. There's going to be people who mocked God and cursed God, and they had 10,000 opportunities to get it right, and they would not. And He knows that in their heart they would never. And so there's only one thing to do. If you don't want God, there's only one other way to go. And that's with the original rebel and his bunch, the devil and his crew. And so only God is qualified to make those judgments. He told us not to judge because we're not qualified. But when He does, and we see what happens and exactly how it works, and there comes a point where there's not going to be, you know, more times to get it right, this is going to be it. And He will, though, wipe away all tears from our eyes. And we will not be hindered nor limited by anything that happened down here in this life, or watching the judgment or anything. We will be free and clear forever. Hallelujah. Knowing that the Lord did the right thing with everybody. Only He can get this perfect. And He can and He will. And so many times, I don't know how many times I look up and I say, God, I'm glad You're the judge. Because I wouldn't know what to do with this, but I know You will get it right. But He said, for those that rejected His knowledge and counsel, and the way He has done it with human beings is whatever you do with Him, He will do with you. You honor Him, He will honor you. You treat Him like His things are nothing, He'll treat you and your things like they're nothing. That's fair. I said, that's fair. That's right. You mock Him, make fun of His stuff, well, that's what you'll get. Somebody say, I'm not doing that. Verse 27, when your fear comes as desolation and your destruction comes as a whirlwind and distression and anguish comes on you, which it will, keep going. They'll call on me, but I won't answer. They'll seek me early, but they won't find me. Why? Because they had 100,000 opportunities for 50 years and wouldn't do it. And now it's too late. Verse 29, for what? Why? What was their issue? They hated knowledge and did not what? Did not choose the fear of the Lord. And here's a big thing to know about the fear of the Lord. Just like believing in God, just like trusting God, just like obeying God, It's a choice.
It is a choice.
I said, it's a choice.
Yes.
And you can see it clear and plain, but God's not going to make you.
That's right.
He's not going to make you. He said, they hated knowledge. Well, what's he saying? I gave it to them.
Yes.
I showed them.
And
not only did they, not that they didn't understand it, they hated it.
Yeah.
They hated it. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They what? There's that word again. Despised all my reproof. You know, that's one of the reasons why the Lord says, don't despise prophesyings, for instance. Why would you need to say that? Because there's been some goofy prophecies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's been people who said, thus saith the Lord. And it was, thus saith them.
Yeah.
It wasn't, thus saith the Lord. I mean, Brother Hagin, my father in the faith, used to tell about a prayer meeting that some of his folks got involved in. And so one of the people jumped up and said, yay, my little children, if you are my little children. Don't be afeared if you are afeared. But if you are, that's okay. I get afeared myself sometimes. Well, was that really thus saith the Lord? That was a prophecy. But it wasn't thus saith the Lord. And there have been, you know, you can get in the ditch on either side where there's never any prophecy. Or then all the way across the road where there's prophecies about crazy stuff. Well, why would the Lord tell you don't despise prophesying? Don't just hear some things and just go, I'm tired of hearing, I don't want to hear anymore. This time it could be God. Are y'all with me? It could be the Lord this time. Even if it sounds strange to you, don't just write everything off. Show respect and examine it and listen. Right? Because God can, you know, he speaks through a variety of ways. And you want to be open to whatever he would say and do. But the despising is the thing you got to watch. And that's when, you know, when the Lord was casting out evil spirits and the religious leader says, he's doing it by the devil. That, you talking about no fear of God?
Yeah.
They are attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan.
Yeah.
And that's what the scripture talks about, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And so what am I saying? Instead of being quick to mouth your opinion and judge a thing, a lot of times you just need to watch and listen. Is that right? And go, because I don't want to mock something that's actually God. Huh? I don't want to mix it up. And I don't want to show disrespect to something that's actually God. Be on the watch for that. He said, verse 29, they hated knowledge. They didn't choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. So they will eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Did you know sometimes the worst thing that could happen to you is to get exactly what you thought you wanted? If you don't know God, that is certainly the case. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoever hearkens to me. Somebody said, that's me, that's me. Whoever hearkens to me shall dwell safely and be quiet from fear. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Go ahead, stand on your feet if you would. There's a lot more, but that's enough for today. Stand on your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Proverbs 16 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Psalm 19:9 said, the fear of the Lord is clean. Don't you like that? The fear of the Lord is clean. And by the fear of the Lord, people leave evil. They get away from evil because through the fear of the Lord, there's understanding. There's knowledge. There's wisdom. And you come to an awareness and go, this is not good. I got to get away from this. Right? I got to get this out of my life. This is the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands if you would. Say thank you, Father, for teaching us about your fear, your reverence, your honor. I love your things. Your things are precious to me. Your words, your spirit, your ways, your people, your church, your ministries, the gospel, precious to me, most precious to me. Thank you, Lord. Let us be a bright light, honoring you in this dark world. Get glory to yourself in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you would just close your eyes and focus on the Lord, we're going to observe communion today. And in doing so, the thing that the Lord, he said to the church at Corinth, he said, you are overeating and drinking and you call this the Lord's Supper? He said, this is not the Lord's Supper. It must be respected. And the elements represent something holy. And so we will honor that today. And everybody that agreed said, amen. You can be seated. Ushers, come and sing while you're served.
What can wash away?